Welcome to the Edible Valley Podcast. I'm Blaine Prose.
And I'm Jonathan Fraser.
Well, John, back another week in the studio.
Yeah, it's exciting to be back here at Jet FM and sitting down. And we have a guest today with us. We have Scott from Tree Island Yogurt. And we're very excited to have you here with us today.
Thank you very much. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, you got, excuse me, big things happening down there.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. We're just completing the construction of our new artisan dairy plant and excited to have yogurt in the Comox Valley and on the island here very shortly.
Great. Well, we'll get more out of you shortly here, but we'll just talk about what's going on locally right now. What have you been up to, John, the last week?
For myself, it's been another long haul in the kitchen, actually working in the cafe. We've been doing quite well. Not to toot my own horn, but it's pretty exciting that the finalist list has just come out for the BC People's Choice Awards. And the Atlas Cafe has been nominated twice, for once for Best Cafe on Vancouver Island, and also Best Breakfast Lunch on Vancouver Island, which is quite exciting. Other places in the town that got a little nod was Kingfisher Inn is nominated for best spa, and Crown Isle is nominated for best golf resort. So that's pretty exciting to have four places in the Comox Valley nominated for something. So it's definitely, if people are interested, they can go online to the BC Best People's Choice Awards and can vote for their favorite places in the Lower Mainland, Vancouver Island, and the interior. So that's quite exciting going on in my life.
Yeah, nice. Pretty exciting for you. Yeah, I did some more foodie things this week. I went to Circle K Ranch down in Royston and picked blueberries on last Thursday. So that was nice. They're just starting to get loads and their bushes are absolutely full.
Fresh berries, and that's what we were doing today for dinner, actually.
Yeah, right. Yeah, we had our pre-game meal at John's house.
Playing with a little blueberries, and yeah. You also picked up some pork loins for us, or pork chops for
us. Yeah, pork chops from DKT Ranch. John rubbed with some Cajun spices and fried.
Fried up nice and nice, and we added a little Wardolf salad, so since we had the yogurt theme today, I thought I'd do a little yogurt dressing with that and some blueberries and apple and that. So it was quite a nice little meal to start off, to get us going.
And yeah, and then you had some sautéed zucchini too.
Yeah, all local stuff, all island stuff. So yeah, it's good to be in the summer and lots of fresh vegetables and fruits going on right now. So
jeez. Yeah, I'm kind of disappointed I didn't end up on the pregame invitation list.
Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty nice. We thought we might as well start doing that. I've been going to John's house for the last couple of weeks before our recording, so I thought I'd chip in with some protein and let John be creative, and then we can talk about it.
Yeah, give us something a little extra. So yeah. Definitely. Well, we want to get some of your yogurt, because I think that would be fun to play with for one of our dinners, for sure. With the
excellent. Yeah, that sounds fantastic. Yeah. I actually, I've been meaning to come down, actually, and introduce myself anyways, because I've been really excited about getting some local chefs, yourself included, involved in maybe some specialty flavor formulations. Oh, thanks. And and anyways, yeah, so I think people would really appreciate having some, sort of gourmet flavors, small kind of run special, maybe give people that opportunity to feel like they've really found a little treasure. So working with folks like yourself would be really exciting.
I know I had a chef's association meeting, which goes back to another thing I was up to this weekend down at the Market Days. Spent a couple hours on the street there chatting up people about the Flavor Festival, which is coming up. So I know we're talking about, and the yogurt, your yogurt came up actually with a few people. And just downtown talking about people, there's a lot of people excited about that Flavor Festival that's coming up. So it's going to be a lot of chefs and a lot of producers in town, mixing up and doing some great food. So.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's happening in town right now for me. So
yeah, well, I made myself some work on Saturday. I emailed Grace at Bates Beach Farm and picked up 20 pounds of her tomatoes and brought them home and made sauce in my kitchen yesterday. So I got that canned and put away for the winter. So I'm gonna have to do that again one more time, maybe two more times.
Some good grub coming there, so yeah, I see that.
Yeah, and I did a bunch of dehydrating. I made some jerky and stuff, so yeah, it was nice. Spend the day in the kitchen. Not as high pressured as your kitchen.
A little different.
Yeah.
Still the same pressure.
Yeah. Yeah, so well, I guess that's about it for what's kind of new and happening right now.
For sure, yeah.
So, Scott, why don't you just give us a little bio on yourself and kind of how you got into the yogurt business?
We know you're new to town, so that's...
Yeah, relatively. So we've been here about 2 years, and my background is in science, and I was just finishing up a PhD and kind of looking at my options moving ahead. And I guess we were, my family went to France for a job interview, and while we were there, we kind of had the opportunity to come across, you know, awesome dairy products. I think everybody kind of falls in love, you know, when they're in France. And, you know, my wife and I were talking at the time anyway, sort of, you know, that kind of landscape that opens up when you're finishing, I guess, a phase of your life. And we sort of decided that it'd be really a neat opportunity to, you know, we both really wanted to get into food. And yeah, I guess we were looking for a project where we could work together and, you know, that would be kind of family oriented and all that sort of stuff. So we decided while we were there that we would like to try to build a food business based on some kind of dairy. And the idea of yogurt kind of came up there directly because we felt that there was an opportunity in our market for an artisan dairy product like yogurt, which is, I think, really grown in popularity. And, you know, in the South, there's been so many, I guess in the U.S., you know, Greek yogurt has just been such a rage for the last couple of years. And,
it's definitely, I've noticed it in the food business is that a lot of people are starting to push it, and it's coming part of a lot of recipes and menus actually is the Greek yogurt. So
totally. And I mean, yeah, that's thick yogurt, right? It's so versatile to cook with, and a lot of things you can do with it that people just really don't realize. I mean, it's actually an amazing food that can be used in all sorts of dishes. I mean, tenderizing meat to making cold yogurt soups, and you know, it just goes so far, right? We came back to BC, and we were living in Vancouver at that time. I was at UBC, and we started looking around. So we drove around the province, actually, and really? And went on a road trip. And,
big adventure.
Totally. Mm-hmm. And we started, I grew up in Victoria, and my wife really wanted to get out of the city. That was a big thing. So we tried the interior. We tried, you know, like the basically the Okanagan Valley. We looked up around Cranbrook, and we came to the island, and we looked up the island, and started in sort of like the Cobble Hill area, I guess, and ended up to Campbell River and everything in between, and we just decided that the valley was the place we wanted to be, actually. So we decided we would be committed to finding a place here, and we did. And so we moved over, and I was still sort of wrapping things up, and I guess I spent 6 or 8 months finishing off my PhD, and then got really focused on our business. So we've been working on it since, basically. And yeah, it's, I mean, starting a dairy business turned out to be a lot more complicated than we imagined.
Yeah, there's a few more things than you thought, eh?
Yeah.
It's almost so, like any business, right?
Yeah. I think so, yeah. So it's taken us, I guess, a year and a half or so to get to this point to actually realize that dream. So I'm really excited to see the plant coming together, and I think it looks really awesome. And I'm very excited just to get some milk in there and fire it up. So so that's how we sort of arrived at this place. And you know, since the beginning, it's been a bit of an adventure because I mean, we put a plan together and took it to the accountant, and they, you know, thought, well, there's probably, you should be in the mainland if you want to do this business. But we were like, we really want to be in the valley. So you know, we've stayed pretty committed to our original conception of the idea, and it's gotten a bit bigger and more complicated than I think we had originally hoped or imagined. But otherwise, I think it's awesome to have a dream and to actually see it come to fruition.
Well, so. I've been watching you expand as you've been going, just because you guys are located down in Royston there.
Yeah.
And so actually I grew up in Royston, so yeah. My parents are still down there, so I'm always driving down to visit and stuff like that. So I've always seen the sign go up and the building go up, so it's quite impressive to watch how you're growing. And awesome. So it's exciting to see. It'll be exciting when the product's actually on the shelves, right?
Absolutely. Totally.
I just randomly stopped in there 2 weeks ago because I've been seeing the signs and I saw the website and I signed up for the purchasing option on your website. And I thought, well, I'll just stop in and see if anybody's around. And you weren't there yet, but you showed up shortly after I got there and you gave me a tour, and it looks wonderful. Like, so much work that you've done into that building. It's
yeah. Beautiful. It looks sharp, actually. And I'm excited. Actually, I got an email today, speaking of food events coming up here in the Valley. The Cycle Farm Tour will be, I think, August 11th and 12th. And we're actually going to open up the place for the day on the 12th is the South Tour.
Oh, great.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, and so anybody out there who wants to come by, whether you're on the bike tour or not, really, I mean, you're welcome to stop in and we'll show you around. And yeah, really excited to show people and tell people about our yogurt.
So. Yeah, I just got my ticket yesterday for that, so I'm going to go on the Saturday ride because it's the easier one. So I'm going to take my daughter with me.
Awesome.
And head out into Dove Creek and check it out. But yeah, maybe we'll come by there on the Sunday and stop in for a visit.
Yeah, absolutely. Hopefully we'll actually be able to run the kettle and make some yogurt.
Cool. So I was thinking while you're talking about Greek yogurt, what's the difference between a Greek yogurt and just a regular yogurt that I'm buying in the store? I mean, what makes it different?
There's in the U.S. I guess you have brands like Faya and Chobani, which is a kind of low fat, high protein yogurt, which is very similar to like authentic Mediterranean sort of strained yogurt. So in the original kind of what people refer to when they're talking about Greek yogurt, it's a kettle fermented dairy product, where you basically have a whole milk yogurt in the kettle, and then it's actually strained through muslin cloth or something in you know the kind of old-fashioned way of doing it. And nowadays there's you know, of course, technology that you can apply to that to produce a strained yogurt. So you make yogurt, then you take the whey out of it, and so it's kind of more of a yogurt cheese product than it is. In the Canadian market, what's typically marketed as Greek yogurt or Mediterranean yogurt or something like that tends to be a very high fat. So it's something that's separated, and then they add a lot of cream and skim milk powder to it, and then they cup set it. So it's actually not even kettle fermented. It's just basically a standard cup set yogurt. So that's kind of the. You know, it's a thicker yogurt, I guess, is generally what people are talking about when they're talking about a Greek yogurt. Right. And, you know, in the U.S., that tends to be mostly low-fat, high protein. Right. And in the Canadian market, it tends to be a high-fat, you know, higher protein type product. So, there's variations out there, of course, and that. But there's definitely been more of a movement in the Canadian market, seems to some higher-fat products, which, you know, is also promising in a way, because I've never been a real... low-fat advocate.
I always live by the motto that fat is flavor. So
absolutely,
so the best stuff out there is in the fat. So yeah,
awesome. And good fat. You know, there is a big difference between good fat and bad fat. And you know, that's one of the things actually that we focus on it since the beginning is you know, for instance, grass-fed cows produce milk that's higher in CLAs and, you know, other things like that are good for you. So I think, you know, really focusing on you know, whole products, whole foods and good fats is, you know, you get your flavor and you get your wholesomeness.
Absolutely. I'm a big advocate for grass-fed meats, and I've never had grass-fed milk before because it's not something that's commonly available, is it? Like, it's...
No, well, yeah, I guess
you never really know.
That's right. So milk in Canada is sold through the pool,
right?
And therefore it's pooled, and you don't really know what you're getting.
It just comes from a bunch of different sources.
That's right.
Right.
So, there's a range as with all agriculture, right? I mean, there's different ways of doing it, and you know, one of the things that that I think that we are developing in our product, and one of the things that we're kind of focusing on is that relationship thing. It's the value chain. It's that, you know, you can trust that as artisan dairy, we're doing our homework to find the best milk that we can and bring that to you as a consumer. So
right.
We're definitely about researching our milk and looking at the different flavor profiles and how the genetics of animals play into it and how the feed plays into it and you know, really what makes really tasty milk, you know? I mean, I guess I don't know if it's just me, but I have this idea in my head. Maybe it comes from my childhood of what milk, I mean, even in France is a great example of what milk can taste like. And mm-hmm. somehow I think that we're not always getting that. And
right.
and so I'm really committed. My wife's really committed to producing a product that reflects, you know, really, really awesome milk.
Excellent. Then so where are you going to be getting your milk from? Is that a secret,
the words
or is
right
that
out of my mouth?
Yeah. Well, we'll have a couple of sources for our milk, and it really depends on the product that we're making. So initially, we're focusing on our whole milk yogurts. It's a little bit of a more simple process for making that yogurt versus the thick yogurt, so Mediterranean yogurt that we make. With the whole milk yogurt, the milk will be coming from Birkendale Farm, which is on Guthrie Road. And then we've got another source of milk that we're focused on getting for the Mediterranean milk. And that actually, I guess that's something we can get into when we'll have that product. Because, I mean, right now it's
not there.
Yeah, that's right.
Perfect. So what products are you offering right now? What kind of yogurts are you? You've got the two styles you're doing? You're doing the...
Well, we've formulated two styles. That's right. We have a thick yogurt and we have a whole milk yogurt. And so the whole milk yogurt, we're just offering in three flavors currently, which is plain, if you want to call that a flavor, and honey. And we're going to be using island honey. Right now, I mean, the honey that I love, it comes is the Big D's fireweed honey.
That's what's in my
cupboard.
And it
seems to go really beautifully
we use that today, actually. So
awesome. Yeah, it's really fabulous. So, and then we'll be doing a vanilla bean honey, which is right now the vanilla actually typically that we use comes from Harmonic Arts, which is a little kind of herb and spice.
In Cumberland.
That's right. That's just, it's amazing. It's so beautiful. So, I haven't done tons of research yet, really, in terms of vanilla and sourcing vanilla, but I know that he sources amazing vanilla, and we've been using that in our product, and it's excellent. Yeah, so that's basically it for now, and then we have a bunch of other flavors that we would like to develop.
All right, Scott. Well, thanks for coming into the studio. Could you give us where we can find your product and contact and stuff like that?
Yeah, so in the Comox Valley, product's going to be available at the farmer's market, and in Royston, it'll be available at Royston Roasting Coffee House, as well as at the Innisfree Farm Gate Market on Saturdays, in Courtney at Edible Island, and in Cumberland at Seeds, and in the Fanny Bear area, at the Fanny Bear area, Weinberg's Fine Foods, and in Campbell River at Healthy Way, I'm hoping. And if you don't see it on the shelf, make sure you ask the grocer for our product. So
great. And your website is
treeislandyogurt.com.
Okay, easy. Perfect. And you're on Facebook, so people can like you on Facebook and watch for updates and different things like that,
and follow your blog.
Absolutely, yeah. And check in the blog on the website. My wife tries to keep that up to date once a week at least.
Great. All right, well, thanks for coming in, Scott. I know you got to run, you have pressing issues, and you're a busy man, but
excellent. Well, thanks so much for having me, guys.
Yeah,
and
that
was really fun, and I hope to make it out in some mushroom picking adventure actually.
Oh, you
in
bet
the
I'm always looking for people to join me.
Excellent. It sounds like we're gonna have a bunch of people with us on an adventure this fall. So
awesome. Okay, have a great evening, guys.
Okay, all right,
take
thanks,
care
Scott. All right. Upcoming events in the Comox Valley.
Well, we got to get some yogurt. I think that's one of the major events coming up.
Yeah, that's so exciting, eh?
Yes.
I can't believe it. It's just amazing. They've yeah, that place down there is beautiful. All brand new stainless equipment, and the walls are epoxied, and like it's unreal.
Nice, clean, fresh.
Oh yeah,
and great.
No, it's gorgeous. So yeah, I can't wait to get down there again and see it while it's operating.
Yeah, it'll be a lot of fun to get in there and sample some food and yeah, try it all down there. So
yeah,
lots of different styles of yogurt. So
mm-hmm,
something good to look forward to. But there's a lot of other things happening in the Comox Valley.
Yeah. So the August long weekend, there's all the festivities in Comox. Traditionally, the down at the marina, there's always different, all sorts of different events happening. The Build, Bail, and Sail is one that's very popular. And then, of course, the Philberg Festival on the restored Philberg House.
That's right. I hear there's a lot of new food carts going in this year, so that should be fun to do some sampling of some food and see some nice crafts and stuff like that there. So
yeah, lots of artisans and musicians, and I think there's a petting zoo there for children and stuff like that. So
lots of family activities.
Yeah, unfortunately, I won't be attending because I'm going to be somewhere on the North Island riding my bike. So if you see a guy riding his bike on the North Island by himself, give a honk. It's probably me. And then the week after that, I guess, is the
another biking event.
Yeah, another biking event, and this one I will be taking part of, the Comox Valley Farm Cycle Tour, August 11th and 12th. You can get tickets at the Discover Comox Valley website, and I've already purchased mine, and will be participating in the Dove Creek ride on the Saturday with my daughter. So,
and this is your first year on the event, right?
Yeah, it's my first year. I think it's happened a couple. Is it just 1 year?
This is the second year.
Yeah. So that's pretty neat. I if I had time, I would definitely partake in probably all three of the rides, but well, you can only do so much. So,
sure.
And then 2 weeks after that is the Mount Washington Food and Wine Festival. I didn't write the date down. Is that August 25th?
I think that's the 25th.
That's why I'm confused. Yeah, and hopefully we'll get somebody in studio here to talk about that.
Yeah, hopefully we'll find out who the chef is that will be doing the dinner. I know they're doing a wine pairing dinner, a 5-6 course meal with hopefully a local chef for that one.
Yeah.
So we'll try and get them in here and get a little details on what's happening with the dinner. So
cool. And then your favorite day is Chef's Day at the Farmer's Market.
Chef's Day at the Farmer's Market is fun. We get a wheelbarrow, cruise around and collect food from everyone down there and try some different stuff, and then it all comes back into one central location and we just get to create, and everyone gets a chance to sample what we've made, or at least until we run out of what we've made, and then you can try something else. So
cool. Make sure you talk to the yogurt guy.
Yes I know, I'll definitely have to get some yogurt.
Yeah. And then on September 23rd, the North Island Gourmet Picnic Flavor is going to be at the Coastal Black Grounds.
Sounds like it's getting lots of interest there. I know I talked to a lot of people, I think I said earlier, about at the market days downtown there.
Right.
So we were giving away tickets to the event. So I know we got a lot of names entered into a jar there, and I'm not too sure who won or if they've even done the draw yet. But I got to hand out and talk to a lot of people about it, and definitely surprised on how many people actually already knew about it. So it's going to be a fun event with lots of food and wine and just good times for the whole family. So
right. And then, of course, the Comox Valley Farmers Market, Saturdays from 9 to 12 at the Fairgrounds on Headquarters Road, and Wednesdays 9 to 12 at the Comox Bay Farm, which is kind of at the bottom of the 17th Street Bridge, that giant farm you see when you come down the bridge. And also should talk a little bit about the Comox Valley $100 Challenge. We had Russ on a couple episodes ago, and terrible audio quality. I apologize for it. But that's going. We got over 100 participants now who've liked the page, and getting a fair amount of feedback from people. And just wanting to get people to shift a little of their grocery spending on locally produced foods rather than buying everything at the grocery store. So if you're interested in getting involved in that, it's on the Facebook, it's through Facebook, and it's the Comox Valley 100. So look into that, like it.
It's interesting stuff there on, cherry pitters, actually, I was reading the other day.
Yeah, I built a cherry pitter out of a fork that somebody linked to me a YouTube video about it. That worked really good. Amazing.
Things you do in Cumberland on a Sunday, right?
Yeah, I can't go to town and buy a cherry pitter, so we'll just invent one. Well, I didn't invent it, but I built it, and it worked really well. So that's, I guess, about it for events. If you have any events that you want us to talk about on the air, just email us, ediblevalley@gmail.com, and we will look into what you're up to and talk about it on the air.
Add on that we're on iTunes now.
Right, yeah, Edible Valley on iTunes. So
you can link to us there and listen if that's not how you're doing it right now. So
yeah, that's right. It's kind of new to us because I tried putting it on there a few weeks ago, and it took quite a while for it to go through Apple's channels and get through to iTunes. So anyways, we're there now. All right, well, thanks for listening to the Edible Valley podcast. Check out our website, ediblevalley.podbean.com. Like us on Facebook and follow our Twitter feed at Edible Valley. As I said before, our email address is ediblevalley@gmail.com for any comments, suggestions on guests, or, you know, what have you, anything you'd like to say. Yeah, so I guess thanks for listening to the Edible Valley podcast. And remember, keep it local.
Keep it local.